It is an honor, of course, to be with you this week as we celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day, as we speak truth about our nation's history. Since 1934, every October, the United States has recognized the voyage of the European explorers who first landed on the shores of the Americas. But that is not the whole story.
Here she goes.
That has never been the whole story. Those explorers ushered in a wave of devastation for tribal nations, perpetrating violence, stealing land, and spreading disease. We must not shy away from this shameful past, and we must shed light on it and do everything we can to address the impact of the past on Native communities today.
I don't have enough coffee for this. I got to be honest. This is so stupid. First off, this xenophobic, jingoistic nonsense that you just heard from Kamala Harris. Originally, it was from 2021, but it's still the same message that they have today. It's her same message. And it's Christopher Columbus Day. It's the one day of the year where the left actually is honest about their hatred of immigrants. It's the one day of the year where the left is, they embrace their xenophobia and their jingoism. Oh my gosh, they're xenophobic bastards. That's exactly what they are. For real. Look, listen to them. They're like those evil immigrants. They brought disease and nastiness and disease. I mean, germ theory didn't, come into existence until what, like the 19th century. But ogre, I'm sure that's like what they were doing. First off, there's a difference between colonizing and conquering. And I feel like we need to have a history lesson because we live in the stupidest period ever. And every single day I wake up and I look at headlines and I think, oh my gosh, these people are sober and they vote and they like drive cars and stuff like all near us. It's so weird. Welcome to the show. Happy Monday. It's Dana Loesch with you here to break down all the nonsense as we get started with your week and get you set up. But that's what it is. The left is xenophobic and they hate immigrants. And that's exactly what you're seeing here. This was what she'd said on 2020 about Columbus Day. And this is what I keep hearing from all of these. Because isn't that, let me look at my calendar. What is it called again? Hold up. No, don't tell me. Indigenous whatever day. I say this as someone who, unlike Elizabeth Warren, can document my indigenous ancestry. Yeah, it's Indigenous People's Day. Okay. We're going to get into some of this stuff because it's a rewriting of history. And they're the ones who are actually anti-immigrant. When you heard that, how anti-immigrant does that sound? Right?
From our borders are.
She's here like hating on immigrants. She's like they ushered in a wave of death. You know what? Because tribal nations were innocent and knew no evil. Until that dirty Italian brought it over. It's really anti-Italian sentiment is part of what it is too. But this idea that, these tribes came, they were so peaceful. They were so peaceful. They were so peaceful and loving and just, they lived in harmony and they traded joy. And there was no disease, no disease. Everything was so lovely. Until those evil Europeans came over. And they brought with them evil and devastation and destruction and all of this. That's what we hear every Columbus Day. That's what we hear. Every Columbus Day. That's exactly what we hear. I just don't know why the left doesn't see how what they're doing is actually racist and xenophobic and all this other stuff. But that's the thing of it. We're always told every single year that you're evil and that all these peaceful came, these peaceful brown people. There was no evil at all in America. That's ignorant. There was no evil. That's ignorant. It's all peace. And then Christopher Columbus brought a boatload of evil with him and all these men with their Jesus, and they came in and they did all this stuff, stopped that peaceful baby sacrifice, everything else. This is what's also interesting. So no one ever talks about the colonizing or conquering because the left doesn't see a difference. No one ever talks about the Mongol Empire. You see what they did? Pretty brutal. Well, we'll talk about that here in a moment. No one ever talks about, I mean, everybody knows they might be giants, right? Istanbul was Constantinople. See, I mean, everybody knows that. But why? Because Istanbul was colonized. Constantinople was colonized and they turned it into Istanbul. Every single place where they put a mosque on a church is colonization. I mean, the Dome of the Rock, colonization. I mean, it is. It's absolute colonization. I mean, you can get mad and be like, that's ignorant. I'm offended. I don't give a rat's ass. So what? Here you go, cry. Doesn't change history. That's colonization. No one ever talks about any of that. No one talks about the Arab conquering of Africa and the spread of Islam through Africa. No one ever talks about that. If you want to have a discussion about colonization, that's ignorant. You can't talk about that. You can only talk about Christopher Columbus. So we hear every Columbus Day. Every Columbus Day, right, Kane? Did you ever learn about that in school? Those colonizing Arabs in Africa. Did you ever hear about any of that?
I never did, not in school.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, what about Turkey? How dare you? Turkey was never colonized. Oh, no, it wasn't. Really? Is that what you're going to call it? It was just conquered. Oh, now there's a difference to you? You dumbasses. Then now there's a difference. I love people who like don't know history. It's so great. So great. What about the Christians in Bosnia during the Ottoman reign? No one wants to talk about that. No one wants to talk about how the majority of them, they were forced to convert to Islam. If you want to have a discussion about colonization, the girls, the daughters were raped. The boys were taken in and they were used as cannon fodder. And then during the Turkish occupation in Bosnia and Herzegovina, they would tattoo their kids so that they could prevent them from being kidnapped. They had them tattooed. I mean, it was like a thing. They didn't want them to be taken into being a concubine with the caliphate, the girls. And they didn't want the boys to be, you know, shot out of I mean, that's what they did. Nobody wants to talk about that. No one wants to have this conversation about colonization then. Heavens, no. Or what about how in the 13th century in the Ottoman Empire, you had what, Lebanon, Syria, Greece, Egypt, Bulgaria, Romania, Macedonia, all of these countries that were colonized by the Ottoman Turks. Oh my gosh, you can't say those words, Dana. Colonization is only when white Europeans do it. That's a fact. Is it now? Is it now? I mean, Turkey, by the way, didn't gain independence from the Ottoman Empire until 1923. You know, colonization and all. If we want to have a conversation about colonization. And I remember when I mentioned the Mongols, too. My gosh, 13th century. Genghis Khan, or as John Kerry would say, Genghis Khan. Remember when he was that old video of him testifying before the Senate? I mean, they literally wiped cities off maps. They destroyed entire cities. If they couldn't colonize them, you were destroyed. They were totally destroyed. Oh, don't say colonization. I mean, let's talk nothing about... Let's just go here to the United States of America and talk about the different indigenous nation tribes. There was never any war between tribes. Well, then why were there warriors? Why were there braves? Why was there, like, literally a history of different wars between different nations in the United States with indigenous nations? This is what white Democrats think. White Democrats don't know anything about brown history. Not a damn thing. Everything to them is colonization. They think that they're the only people that are capable of evil. In a way, it's like a stupid racism. I don't know if it's meant as kindness or if they're just that dumb. Because they think, well, no one knows evil except us. I think it's a self-hatred. I think that it's just a self-loathing and a self-hatred. And that's why they believe the things that they believe and say the stupid stuff that they say. Because the idea that there was never any conflict, or the idea that actual other African nations sold Africans into slavery and then it was later exploited by other people, and African nations were only none too happy to trade their enemies in for slaves, they they conveniently omit all of this. And then when you bring it up, they try to act like you're justifying any badness done. No one's doing that. We're trying to say, be honest. This has existed in every aspect of humanity, no matter the creed, no matter the religion, no matter the race. There is not a group of people that are just, you know, as innocent as and pure driven snow. It's never happened. It's never existed. It's just the way of things. It's the way of the world. It's the way of mankind. And this just gets dumber and dumber every Columbus Day. Do you know in 1891, I don't know how many of you realize this, do you remember the Italian lynchings that almost got a war declared on us by Italy? I mean, if you want to talk about Columbus Day and all that stuff, which I still think some of it's anti-Italian sentiment, if I'm being honest. There were 11 Italian Americans who were lynched. They were brutally murdered. It was considered one of the largest lynchings in American history. Tens of thousands of people. This is in New Orleans. They had, 11 men, they killed 11 men. It was one of the largest lynchings in U.S. history, March 14th, 1891. There was a popular police chief named David Hennessy, and he was shot and killed while he was walking home from work. And when a witness asked him, reportedly, who did it, he gave them a slur for Italians. Now, at that time in New Orleans, there were more Italian immigrants in New Orleans than there were in any other southern state. You had almost 500,000, many of them were Sicilians, who moved in to New Orleans. And that's why the French Quarter for a very long time was known as Little Palermo. And they worked hard, and they were religious, and they loved their family, they loved Jesus. And there were a lot of people, a lot of Italians who had been living there even before the Louisiana Purchase and before all of this happened, but it really exploded. And Sicilians and Italians were viewed very oddly by Americans. They hated the Irish and they hated the Italians. And because they were olive skin, they had slurs for their names, for them. And everybody who was Sicilian, everybody who was Italian was suspected of being in the mafia. So while all this was happening, while this David Hennessy guy was shot, there was a fight between two Italian families in New Orleans at the same time. So a lot of people were just saying, oh, well, it had to do with that. It was probably had to do with like a mob boss that had to do with something like that. And then all of the discontent and weirdness that people had already felt that pre-existed this against Italian Americans in New Orleans at the time, it just kind of all boiled over. And people went on a witch hunt. I mean, they had like an editorial in their paper where they were telling people to rise up and like protect their civilization, go after the Italians. And so vigilante justice, that's what happened. There was a group of dudes that, they started arresting, they started taking these people that they just presumed were connected into custody. And long story short, there was a mob whipped into a frenzy outside of the jail. And they were able to break into the jail and they lynched 11 Italian Americans. And it got so bad that like Italy was mad. And we had to make some concessions. We had to actually smooth things over literally with the Kingdom of Italy. With the nation of Italy, which had just been a new nation. Because it got so bad, it hurt our diplomatic relationship. That's how bad it was. 1891. And I mean, it was pretty wild. People seem to forget that. And it was one of the reasons why there were a lot of Christopher Columbus statues put in predominantly Italian neighborhoods in the United States. And so here we are, all these years later, and we have Democrats again today using this day as a way to not just denigrate the contributions of immigrants, but to continue and perpetuate slurs against immigrants with these xenophobic rants. That's how they look at this. That's their true sentiment about immigrants. Our partners over at Hillsdale College, an educational institution that was founded to offer the type of education needed to preserve civil and religious liberties. And that's the mission that they are holding true to still today. And over at Hillsdale, You don't have to go to their campus in Southern Michigan to take advantage of all the things that they offer. They have all kinds of free resources, whether it's their educational podcasts, whether it is their Free Speech Digest and Primus. They're also offering free pocket constitutions. You get it for free. They send it to you for free. You pay nothing. You're not having your information sold either. You just give them your address so they can send it. They're a part that that's part of their liberty evangelism. I mean, they want to make sure that everyone understands and has copies of our founding documents because they think it's a vital to spreading awareness about our nation's core values. They were founded in 1844, a small Christian classical liberal arts college, all about pursuing truth and defending liberty. So you can get your free copy of your pocket constitution at Dana4FOR Hillsdale.com. Fill out the form. They'll mail it to you with free shipping. And if you have one, get one for someone you know who doesn't. This won't last long, so grab your pocket constitution today at Dana4Hillsdale.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently Kamala Harris is going to sit down for an interview with Bret Baier. It's supposed to air on Wednesday of this week, per the New York Times. So that should be kind of interesting. That would be in his 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern hour. So we will see how that goes. I just don't know if all of this press blitz is actually going to do anything. I really don't. I just don't see it doing anything. Do you guys? I don't see this doing anything either. We're going to talk more about this because it's just getting worse and worse with Tim Walz. We got to talk about that Tim Walz ad. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Also, let's see here. Scientists, this is interesting. They say that this is like Inception. A potential breakthrough as they claim two people communicated in their dreams in a world first. They said it's two-way communication between individuals during lucid dreaming, which sounds like it's out of Inception, right? It was a neurotech company. They said they achieved the first two-way communication between two individuals during lucid dreaming. It's the REM Space company. So it's a California startup. I don't know if I'd want to talk to people in my dreams. You know, I really don't think so.
Sleep to get away from
yeah,
people.
I sleep to get away from you people. I still don't. Mystery drones swarmed a U.S. military base for 17 days. The Pentagon is stumped. They have no idea what it could be. They said that they flew unhindered over sensitive national security sites, and they have no idea how to stop them. I'm sure that it possibly couldn't have been China. Just saying. Let's see. America's new millionaire class, plumbers and HVAC entrepreneurs. Yeah, you knew that. You knew they were. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. That Walz ad. In today's fast-paced world, the mental load on families has become significantly heavier, particularly because everybody navigates new schedules and a lot of responsibilities. And with an increasing array of activities and work commitments and school-related tasks to manage, can often feel like juggling is a constant act. Life360 makes it easy to keep track of everybody without the constant back and forth. It's like helicopter parenting without helicoptering. Life360 has real-time location sharing, so you can track your kids when they're driving to school or hanging out. You kind of get an update on their safety without aggravating them. You get custom alerts when they arrive or leave locations, and it can provide insights into their driving habits, your teenagers, for added safety. Plus, there's also a built-in group chat feature that simplifies coordinating schedules and plans. All of the features of Life360 are awesome and completely practical in today's world, especially the emergency contacts also. Customizing those contacts gives you peace of mind, and then you know that everyone in the family understands how to use these emergency features and can get help if they need it. Coordinate the chaos and simplify family life with Life360. Visit Life360.com or download the app today and use code Dana to get 1 month of the gold package for free. That's Life360.com, code Dana.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Oh my gosh, everybody's been asking me to react to this Tim Walz video. First off, welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can watch the stream, Channel 347, DirecTV. Find us on X, Rumble, where the chat happens, Substack, the newsletter. So Tim Walz decided to, did he invite the media or did they just set up, they set up this interview where he was in the field. He was supposed to pretend, he was pretending that he was pheasant hunting. And he has been really keen to show everybody that he's like a dude's dude, right? We all know he's not, but let's, you know, move on. And he decided, it was opening day of pheasant season, pheasant hunting season. He didn't bag a single bird, apparently. opening day pheasant hunting season. And he has the media there with him, right? I just think when you're inviting the media to go shoot with you, you need to learn how to load your stuff, is all I'm saying. I need you to watch this video because here he is in the field. Basically, he just stood there in orange and you know, Bart stomped around the field a little bit with hunters, and that was the extent of it. But watch him fumble here while he's trying to load his shotgun. Watch this video. This is insane.
And it never fits quite right.
It never fits quite right.
It's not quite
good,
right.
Mm-hmm. Governor, what kind of gun is it?
This is a Beretta A400.
Oh, nice Italian.
I bought it when I was shooting a lot of trap because it has a...
Did he try to pump it?
Kickoff,
it's not a pump action. I just see things?
And it never fits quite right.
I love how he goes, it's got this special thing so it doesn't hurt your shoulder. I mean, a shoulder pad, you dumbass. Oh my gosh. I don't know how. This was really hard to watch. And he's sitting here acting like, I mean, he can't load the damn thing. But and he was bragging about how much he shoots. That's what gets me. Like he started this bragging about how much he shoots and how much he hunts. And I would be really uneasy if I was in the field with this dude and he had, you know, this shotgun, a modern shotgun, and he couldn't load the damn thing. I would feel really nervous around him. I would not feel comfortable. Like, probably more nervous than I would feel if I was with Dick Cheney. Just saying. I mean, it is really bad. So when Barack Obama last week was like, can Trump even change a tire? Well, hell, can Tim Walz even load a shotgun? I mean, come on. I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm looking at screenshots right now of it. He looked like he tries to act. This is why I don't like him pretending to be a responsible gun owner, because he makes responsible gun owners look bad. Look at what he was doing with that. Did he get a tampon stuck in the chamber? Like, what happened? Like, I don't understand. You're supposed to load shells. You don't put tampons in it, Tim. Come on. I don't know. He's pandering, obviously. But it looks so bad. He looked like he was entirely unfamiliar with his Beretta. And he kept saying, he told reporters that it wasn't new. He told them that he got it a long time ago. And he was bragging about how much he shoots. And this is what he uses to shoot trap. That's what he was saying to reporters. Because there's other, that was just that's the most important part of the video. And there's other parts that's like hard to hear. But he was bragging about like how much he shoots. And then he gets his gun and he's like fumbling with it. Does that look like a dude who shoots? You go ahead and run it again if you can, Juan. Does it look like a guy who shoots often?
We actually have a different angle. It shows his hands more in this particular angle. So
of course we do. Here we go.
Let's put it up right now.
See him load the tampons in. Go ahead and put it up there. It's just so bad. It's so bad. And he's fumbling. It's like, I don't know how to work this. I shoot crap all the time. He's just so awkward looking. And that's when he's pointing. He goes, that I love his what he says there. He's like, yeah, I got this thing here. It makes it so it doesn't hurt your shoulder. It's literally what he said. He says it's got a special thing, so it doesn't
kind of their patented thing, it
hurt your shoulder.
So when you get old, it doesn't hurt your shoulder as much.
I am, oh my gosh, I'm dead. I can't. It looks bad. And so you have Kamala Harris trying to tell everybody that she owns a Glock. And then she's telling everybody, yeah, shoot those people who come up into your house. But then she conveniently omits that she actually supported a handgun ban and supported banning all of Glock in California. And that as the head of, what is it, the gun control working group with the White House, the Office for Gun Violence Prevention, that she is being accused by the Republicans in House, James Comer, who subpoenaed her, of colluding with the ATF and the city of Chicago against Glock, because Chicago is suing Glock. It's a stupid lawsuit. They're the people who also sued Kia and Hyundai because they were saying, how dare you make your cars to where they can get stolen? It's like Kia's like, we're not making our cars to get stolen. What's the matter with you? It's like one of those suits. Like they're mad at Glock. Like, how dare you make something that someone could use illegally? Well, that's not the purpose of the product, but it's a nonsense suit. But she's being accused of colluding with the ATF and the city of Chicago against Glock in that. So you have her doing this, him doing that. Do you think anybody, because everybody's making a play for the hunters. There's a lot of unregistered voters that are hunters. Is any of this making anybody, any of y'all feel easy? Look, Republicans did not help themselves when they deprioritized guns on their platform. Believe me, I got a beef. Yeah, I got a big beef because that's a major issue with me. I don't know. I just think when you've literally had your life threatened and you've relied on firearms to defend yourself, it becomes a big issue to you. You know what I'm saying? So, or a bigger issue than it ever even was to begin with you. And so I get that, but I don't see Republicans out there fumbling like this. They're not talking about banning stuff. They're not talking about going into people's houses. They wouldn't do that. They wouldn't pass it because there would be a little literal riot on the right. But I mean, this just looks so dumb. I'm looking at this and it looks so bad. And he didn't get any birds, you know, because he shoots all the time. Some of my friends are not judging him for not bagging a bird on opening day. I am, because he bragged about it nonstop. If you listen to him talk to the press, he acts like he's John Wick. He acts like he taught Taron Butler everything he knows. That's what he acts like, doesn't he? And then you see him out there doing this. Oh my gosh. No, I'm going to do it. So they've been trying to reach out to gun owners. That's what all of this was about. This whole stunt was about them reaching out to gun owners and trying to, you know, seem legit. And it, you know, backfired, obviously, big time. But this absolute dumbass with his, I mean, I can't stop looking at how awkward he looks. I mean, he just doesn't know what he's doing. I'm like watching the video. He just doesn't know what he's doing. I don't know. It looks so bad. It is embarrassing. Oh my gosh. If that would have been a Republican, they would have never lived it down. Right? You guys know this. They would never, never ever lived it down. And remember, the first joint thing that he did with Kamala Harris was to promote a ban on the modern sporting rifles, semi-automatic rifles that are used in the least crimes. I don't know. I mean, I just can't. Is it? He's got a Beretta. How much is that Beretta? That's not a cheap shotgun. Yeah, it's in a nice Italian gun. You know, Columbus Day. It's a nice Italian gun. But I'm just wondering the legal status of his firearm. I don't know. Just curious. I mean, don't you have to limit your shells? I'll have to look at Minnesota's law on that. I'm just curious. Don't you have to limit it? Because it looked like he loaded five in. Did he load five in?
It sounded like he loaded four in. If we go back to that first video we heard, it sounds like he's just shoving four shells in there.
Because in some places, don't you got to use a plug to reduce, like to
yeah,
thwart to your own capacity?
Yeah.
Like, so did he do that?
Governor, what kind of gun is it?
This is a Beretta A400.
Well, he's struggling so bad. He just did it for the chaps. Let's be real. Because it has a... They told him he'd be wearing chaps, and so he showed up.
Maybe he just fumbled with two, and I thought it sounded like four.
All right, I got the price on the gun.
What's the price on the gun?
Should we guess? Take guesses.
I thought.
Oh,
it was
I know
like,
it's going to be expensive. Like 48, it's going to be a couple of
that. I was going to say 4,800, but that may be too much.
That's too high.
It's like 5,600, isn't it?
$2,200.
What am I thinking of? I don't have a nice bird gun. I don't really. I've never bird hunt before. I've never successfully bird hunted. I put it like that. Let me redefine it. I've not been successful at it. So I'm like, I'm not going to go, and I haven't gotten a nice bird gun. When I've gone, I've used my father-in-law's bird gun before, but he's got a really nice one. My husband has a real nice one. My oldest son has a nice one. I'm going to have to get, but I'd probably get Beretta. Benelli makes really good stuff too. Anyway, long story short, he didn't fire any of it. I'm just curious about this because someone asked me if he was operating legally. And I'm like, that's actually a really good question. That's something I'm going to come back to that because there's going to be a piece going up at Substack. I'll look back on that. But has that convinced anybody? Has that stunt that he just did convinced anybody? No. I mean, you can sit here and you can, you know, pretend all day long and be like, look, we're loading the shotgun. Look at how I'm such a hunter. I don't think that's doing anything for anybody. I don't think that you're you're undercutting any overtures to any kind of firearm community by telling everyone that you're going to ban half of what they own. And then you're actually entertaining the idea of mandatory confiscation that you call a buyback. I mean, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. We got more on the way. He just, like I said, he did it for the chaps. They said, hey, Tim, you can wear chaps. Wink, wink. You know, I'm going to show up and wear chaps. And you can put load tampons in here in the chamber.
He thought
he
was
chamber.
Hunting peasants, not
pheasants. Yeah, he thought it was peasant hunting. That's right. Not pheasant hunting. He was confused. You know, as one would be when your name is Tim Walz. It's our friends over at Kel-Tec. The P15 stands for 15 pews approximately. It's a great American company, Florida-based company. Great success story as well. But Kel-Tec, the P15 is, doesn't matter if you're new. It doesn't matter if you're new to shooting like Tim Walz or if you're a seasoned old pro. It's lightweight and powerful. You don't have to compromise stopping power for concealability. And that's what the P15 delivers. It has two versions. You have a metal frame version and the polymer version. It's a striker fire pistol. Metal frame comes with these gorgeous walnut panels on it. The polymer version's got the gator grip texture. It's just a really nice looking gun. Classic look, classic feel. And it ships with two standard capacity magazines. One is a 15 round with a minimal pinky extension. The other is a flush fit double stack mag that holds 12. Both are double stack magazines. I know. It's still the thinnest 9mm you will have. It's the lightest, thinnest 9mm I have, and it's double stack mag. 12 round one with the flush fit that gives you even more ultra concealability. Tritium fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear. Lifetime warranty as well. Compact. And it's from the inventors of the micro-compact pistol category. It's the P15. Innovation Performance Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs. Whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Hey Kamala HQ, I'm Gwen Walz, and I have been an educator for a really long time, and I'm here with an assignment for you today. It's due on November 5th. Now I'm going to put my teacher classes on because this is really serious, like a final, and there's no late work. I need you to take yourself and three friends to the ballot box and make your voice heard. You have to vote. I'm going to repeat that again. You and three of your friends have to make your voices heard by voting.
I'm tired of her like lecturing us. She's weird and creepy. And if I was casting like a horror movie teacher, like, you know how they always make these horror movies about nuns, but they never make them about teachers. I would cast her. She would be like the demonic entity that's like faking as a teacher, eating up all the kids in the classroom. Honestly, because she's creepy. Yeah. I get major creepo vibes, and not just because it's like it's Halloween season, spooky season.
I think she just sounds like she's always talking to kids, like she doesn't know how to talk to adults.
No, I don't think that she does. I don't think that she does at all. It's just weird. Like, turn the page. It's just like, stop talking. No. Yeah. Kane, we were all talking about, we think there's a ghost in the studio. Not really, but maybe.
Could be.
Spooky season. Kane said that one of the curtains in the studio was on the ground this morning.
Yep.
And then one of their lids just popped off.
Yep.
Fell on the desk. I don't know if I believe in ghosts. My kids insist that the house that we lived in St. Louis was super haunted. They insist that it was haunted. They said that they saw stuff. They heard stuff.
Yeah,
we had a spooky like attic. My office was on the third floor attic. It was one of those old timey houses. I didn't notice anything. I don't think I got The Shining, but I didn't notice anything. I'm not really creeped out. I'm not easily creeped out. I'll put it that way because I'm such a skeptic and such a cynic. It's really hard. I mean, I don't know. Kane, one time at the Limp Mansion, if you guys aren't familiar with this, it's an old brewery mansion in St. Louis.
I've got experience at the Limp.
I walked around by myself in the dark.
What?
In the Limp. I stayed the night there. I walked around by myself at night in the Limp Mansion in the dark. Nothing happened. Didn't see nothing.
Certifiable.
Now, that's me because I am a total skeptic and cynic, and I just, you know.
I got to tell you, my experience.
Or I'm mean and they don't want to mess with me. What?
Yeah, my experience at the Limp Mansion. So we were doing a live broadcast for Halloween at the Limp Mansion. You know how crazy that is.
No, it's nuts. It's so spooky.
You know that little elevator that goes down underground into that storage, brewery storage area? Well, we had two listeners with me. We went down there and...
Did you see any ghosts?
Oh, well, we heard and saw things move and can't explain it, but we didn't necessarily see a ghost or an apparition or anything like that.
I just never saw anything like that.
That was the creepiest I've ever felt. You know how you get that, the hair stands up on your arm, but this was like back of neck and shoulder, like, ugh.
I'm like more creeped out watching Gwen Walls than I was walking around by myself at night in the Lint Mansion.
That's fair.
And I was downstairs even. I was like, I'm going to go to all the places where they mark themselves.
Mm.
Yeah, you can do that if you stay there. It was like a bed and breakfast. It's totally spooky. Yes.
It's haunted. There's no question in my mind the Lint Mansion's haunted.
It feels heavy when you walk in there, but that's the only thing I noticed. Yeah. I don't know. But they said that the room up on the third floor is the most haunted. It's the hauntedest. And somebody was staying up there, so I couldn't go in. But yeah, I don't know. Nothing ever happened. Like I said, Gwen Walls terrifies me more. If I had to pick between being by myself at night in the basement of the Lint Mansion or being in a room during broad daylight with Gwen Walls, I'd pick the Lint Mansion.
Because
she's weird, dude. She's weird. I think she blinks vertically. Think about it. It's weird, man.
Lizard people.
She totally is, dude. It's weird. That's why if you were an alien who was talking to people and you were trying to be a person and be convincing, that's what you would act like. Like, you would act like, you would pick what's the most, like, unassuming, trustworthy, a teacher.
Right.
See, you were rolling your eyes at me a second ago, but now some of you out there are like, well, she does make some sense. The girl does make some sense here. You know I'm right.
I don't think I would choose, though. I don't know. That's between a fear that I know and a fear that I don't know. And the Lint Mansion is the fear that I don't know.
I like variety, so I'd pick what I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
You're a better man than I.
I would, though. But she is so, every time she talks, I watch her eyes. I'm like, she can blink vertically. I'm watching her face and seeing what she does. She gives me the weirdest vibes. And when she did that interview where she was talking about how she liked the smell of things burning coming through her window, didn't she like disappear into the past for a moment? Like, she was like reminiscing joyfully and her face got this like eerie calm. And she was thinking, you could tell she was remembering it fondly. That's weird, you guys. We have a second hour on the way. You don't want to miss as we roll forward. More of the forward same. Stick with us. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Welcome to the radio program. It's Professional Lady Radio. My name is Dana Lash. I'm in a really weird mood. And it's the top of our second hour. And we were talking about how Gwen Walls terrified us because there's new video of her being all spooky. She's just a spooky person, right? She's weird. I bet that she's got veneers on or she's got fake teeth. And when she takes them out, they're like all filed into points. She's a legit scary dude, lady, person, whatever, person. Yeah, she's an alien. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here. We're all weirded out. We're all like trying to freak each other out on break. It's funny. Not Diddy style, by the way. So happy Monday. And we've been talking about the Tim Walls ad or interview. It's an ad. Let's be real. He went onto a field and he's wearing, I think they just said, Tim, you can wear some chaps if you show up. And he's like, I love chaps. He shows up and doesn't know how to load his Beretta that he was bragging about. Like, I use this all the time to shoot. I was bragging about how great of a shot he is and how he shoots with this particular gun all the time.
So yeah, gun owners, vote for me. Forget about me wanting to take all your stuff. Just vote for me. Watch me load my shotgun. Fumbles. And he didn't bag a single bird. It's just weird. And I don't know. I just, everything I'm reading, and I'm pulling this up too, Democrats are freaking out right now because Kamala is not doing well. Now, I am not going to sit here. One thing that I am not going to do is go, oh, guys, I feel like there's a red wave coming. No, because remember, that was what everyone was saying in 2022. And I'm like, it's not happening. And they said it in 2022. And I was like, but it's not, it didn't happen. And there were polls indicating that it wasn't going to happen at the time. It's really close. And I also feel like the moment you tell that, not feel, I know, the moment you tell it to Republicans, something clicks in their head. And they go, oh, I guess I can relax now. It's all in the bag. And then they don't do anything. They stop. It's so frustrating. So Kamala Harris can still win, but she's on the struggle bus a little bit, which is a different place for her to be because normally she's under the tires. So Democrats, they've released an ad where I actually had to go back and check because I saw this over the weekend on X. It was an ad where they were slamming third-party candidates and they were going after people like Jill Stein. I was like, hello, 2016? Is this 2016 here? No, they were. I think that they're so worried about that because that tells you, A, how close it is, and B, they're so worried about how close it is that they're trying to compensate for that with some of this stuff and by picking off third-party stuff. I also think that they're hoping that female voters overperform, which I don't think they will. That's one of the reasons why they're hitting that so much to an annoying degree, to where every single thing is about how you need to vote for Kamala Harris because she's like a woman or something, and I'm done with it. How many times have you seen this or heard this talking point from their campaign where it's, well, you know, you need to vote for Kamala Harris because she's a woman, and it, you know, it's, and that's, I mean, that's what they say. I think we had some audio that was something to this effect, because they keep saying that it's a gender gap, and that's one of the reasons why she's not doing very well. And they try to use that as an excuse for how poorly she performed in the primary, but they're also suggesting it's a reason why she's struggling in the polls, and that's. Doesn't have anything to do with it, because people aren't opposed to her for her being a woman. It's for her being just completely incompetent and underaccomplished. Audio soundbite 26. This is what one of her surrogates is saying. Listen.
I mean, the top line is the 5-point advantage that Kamala Harris had in our last poll is gone. What's behind that shift?
Yeah, exactly, Savannah. I mean, just look at them side by side and you can see it. Remember that poll we took a month ago that you see here? It was just after that first Trump-Harris debate. Since then, we've had the VP debate. There have been some campaign activities, some interviews, some things that have changed in that time. I think this might be the biggest for Harris. We just asked the basic image perception people have. Is it positive or negative of these candidates? The Trump numbers always been somewhere in this territory. In fact, this is a little bit high for him, believe it or not, 43% positive. But look at Harris, 43 positive, 49 negative. The significance, we polled this a month ago. She was 48% positive and 45 negative. She was above water, as they say.
And you know what? It doesn't help. I don't know if we can play this, SNL, because
we can do the audio, I think.
Oh, hold on. We get, even if it's news, we have to fight with YouTube over fair use. They won't let you play anything. So it's so ridiculous. And they, and I, it's something that we got to deal with. YouTube just, I don't have enough middle fingers for it. But they made fun of her over the weekend. So that's all I can basically say, or they'll strike our video. So I don't know. They're having a problem. They're having a big problem right now. And then you have Jim Clyburn, audio soundbite 30. He is trying to reprise what he did back in 2016, because, you know, Joe Biden would not have been president of the United States without James Clyburn.
because James Clyburn delivered South Carolina for him. Now listen to Clyburn. They're trying to shame black Americans into voting for Kamala Harris. Listen.
The problem is there are 95 years between number 8 and number 9. And the policies of that 95 years that kept us out of government, out of this economy, is called Jim Crow.
Oh, good heavens.
And if you look at Project 2025, it will be Jim Crow 2.0.
First off, that's not a I don't even want to address it. It's so stupid. It's not even a Trump thing. It was like a policy thing over at the Heritage Foundation. And I'm trying to figure out why people are upset with it. They act like it's like, I don't know.
Policy.
Yeah, it's just, it's literally like policy discussion. Trump had nothing to do with it. I mean, literally, Trump had nothing to do with it. Nor did anybody in his campaign. That's like saying that a third party entity came out with a suggestion, some policy suggestions. And, oh, well, Kamala Harris wrote them. This is her thing. I mean, it's stupid. This is what the left, this is where they overshoot, you know? If there's things that you want to criticize Trump on, then make sure that they're legitimate things that the dude did. But don't make up this stupid stuff and then try to race bait and race hustle people into falling in line, because that's just lame. And it just shows you don't got anything else. There's no enthusiasm for Kamala Harris. There's none. I don't even know Democrats that are excited for her. I've never seen, and I do have some friends who are Democrats because I'm not a partisan Borg. And there are still some people who are decent enough to realize friendship's thicker. But I've never seen them so depressed, ever. So uninspired, so depressed, ever. Like I mean, and we're talking about people who are usually real excited about putting those Democrat signs in their lawns and like making, you know, big. They are so depressed. They were not super excited before Harris was switched in. And then when Harris was switched in, they won't admit it. But for them, it was like admission already of a first defeat. And they knew that they were going to be operating from a negative position and trying to claw back into the positive. And I mean, it's just wild. It's wild. I mean, if we want to play the SNL thing, because they even hit her. I just think it's a big thing. Audio soundbite 31. I think it's a big, because it's so bad that it forced SNL into mocking her. And SNL didn't do this because they thought it was funny and they were creative and they came up with it. They were forced into doing it just in order to stay with the cultural zeitgeist. Listen.
All right, let's play the game. Okay, 100 people surveyed, top 6 answers on the board. Name something that you keep in your glove compartment. Oh, VP Harris.
Steve, look. I was raised in a middle class family, all right?
Oh, here we go.
Okay, my mother raised my sister and me, all right? Yeah. She worked hard and saved up.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And we had a second mother, too.
Okay. Did that mother have a glove compartment?
A small business owner named Miss Shelton.
Okay, we got that. Something that you keep in your glove compartment.
Oh, a Glock, Steve. A big old Glock.
Yeah, I don't. You mean like the kind she wanted to ban in California? I mean, and literally made it like one of the unauthorized, like you have to have it on a roster of what California considers safe guns. I'm not even kidding. It's just interesting. I'm just saying. But they're having a lot of trouble right now. They're having a lot of problems. And in looking at this, I got some. Her negatives are up. There's no momentum. And you can see her on, I mean, it doesn't even matter. Let me just pull up. It doesn't even matter what aggregate you're looking at, honestly. She can't keep momentum. Even CNN is noticing that she's struggling with momentum. And I love it how they say Trump's extreme vision for America hikes pressure on Harris. That's as close to as what they can get. I know. That's as close as they can get, CNN can get to saying this. But there is, everybody's noting that she's in trouble. There has been a shift and people can feel it. They can tell it. They know it. They said an ABC was reporting that her internals show that she is in a lot of trouble. Pennsylvania is tough for her right now. Wisconsin and Michigan are tough with her. I got to tell you, I think people are going to look back, although I was saying this from the moment it was announced. Tim Walz is her running mate. I think that was the fatal blow. I get gut feelings about stuff. I'm not speculative and I don't believe in, you know, like that kind of prognostications. I don't, but I'm just telling you, I got a gut feeling. And I believe that people are going to look back and be like, the Tim Walz thing, that was the fatal thing for her, her campaign. If she would have picked Josh Shapiro, Pennsylvania would not be in play the way it is for Democrats right now. She would be in a very good position if she had picked Josh Shapiro. I'm actually glad that she didn't. And honestly, it was one of the things I was the most nervous about after everything switched up to her, because I knew the media was going to go all in for her. But I also knew that she had to pick a really strong, she had to pick a good VP. But what she ended up doing, she didn't go with Shapiro because that wasn't the, she didn't go with Shapiro because that wasn't the future of the party as her and her left-wing Marxist faction view it. They went with Walz because he's a Marxist. They went for ideology over strategy. In a way, Trump did too. But Vance is a better strategist and just better in front of the press than Walz is. So it's like a non-issue at this point. But Shapiro would have definitely put that state in play. And I mean, she would not, I mean, it's tough for her right now. And when you consider how everything's looking at coming down to North Carolina and Pennsylvania, oh my gosh. And then Trump released his internals for his swing state polling, and it showed him ahead in almost every single swing state. Small margins. I would say that he's virtually tied in every single swing state because nothing's beyond the margin of error. However, he is up against Harris, ahead of Harris. And those were his internals that he released. They had to feel very confident about their position to release that. I'm just telling you, it's fast. I mean, she's going to get more desperate, and they don't have anything else. Any other big October surprise, they would have already dropped it because of early voting. Patriot Mobile, it's the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is in existence, and they want to save you money. They want to save you money in a couple of different ways. First off, you can get a free month of service right now when you call 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana, and you can get free activation using code Dana. They're also going to make sure that you have a tailor-made plan for what it is you need. Families of all sizes, singles, dinks, businesses, doesn't matter. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team that make it easy to switch. And you're supporting U.S.-based jobs as well. But your money is not going towards any kind of political effort that undermines how you vote. And that is supremely important as well. And you get great service. You get the best service on all the major networks. So you're getting, you know, you're not funding the left and you're getting constantly connected. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month when you use offer code Dana. Don't be fooled by the pretenders. Only work with the original. Switch to patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT. Get your free month of service today.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So SpaceX, this was crazy. It caught Falcon Heavy, the Falcon Super Heavy rocket booster, in its Mechazilla arms. I watched this. And I struggled. What is like? It's like USB-A or USB-C, whatever the little thingy that you, the little one singular prong thing that you got to put in a stupid outlet that's in the wall. And I struggled with it because you put it in there and it's like, nope. You flip it, it goes, nope. And you do it a couple more times and then it's like, okay, I'll accept your original offering. I felt so stupid watching this video because I struggled with that outlet yesterday morning. And then I literally watched a big giant rocket land on a steel needle in Boca Chica, Texas. This is crazy. It looks like a supernatural thing. That's just wild. So, I don't know. Elon Musk is saving the world. We're going to be talking about him here coming up because I think the administration and everything else have been dealing with him. I can't get over this rocket. It's actually really cool. Let's see. Also, of course, this decided to freeze just now because why would it not? just waiting for it. I'm going to take this computer and I'm going to throw it across the room. This, what did I get into it? Oh, Harris is going to war with Franklin Graham. Why? Out of all the things, evangelicals for Harris goes to war with Franklin Graham. If you're an evangelical going, I think that it's sometimes silly to say you're not a real Christian if you're voting for this person. But if you're voting for abortion on demand funded by the taxpayer, yeah, you need to be checking your religious affiliation, because God definitely will at the pearly gates. So there's that one for you. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Life can take a toll on our bodies. There's no way around it. And whether it's just sitting for hours on end at your computer or if you're working a physical job, over time, your body pays the price. There is, however, an effective way to turn back the clock on pain. Relief Factor. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor helps support your body's response to inflammation. And the difference, instead of just masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it for good, and it's 100% drug-free. My husband Chris has taken Relief Factor with incredible results. So if the pains that come with living a full life are affecting you, do as many others have done and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. And when you feel good, it's amazing how much more you get out of life. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Try it for only $19.95 and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. relieffactor.com.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Kamala Harris is set to sit down with Bret Baier in an interview that is going to air on Wednesday. I really hope that Bret Baier asks her, first and foremost, what gen of Glock do you own? And secondly, why do you own a firearm that you pushed to ban in California that you had declared unsafe in California, and it's the same manufacturer that you are accused of fighting against? And why are you stonewalling the House's subpoena into whether or not the office you head, which is the Office of Gun Violence Prevention, whether or not they've been colluding along with the ATF and the city of Chicago against Glock and that lawsuit? I mean, I would love for that question to be asked. If anyone would ask it, it would be Bret Baier. I mean, you could prepare her to answer that question. She's still not going to answer it well. But the reason I think that it's a big issue, and it's a big issue, not just regarding firearms, but there's a couple of things at play here. Please stop saying Glocks don't have safeties. Glocks have safeties. Stop it. They have a three-tiered safety system, and part of that is within the trigger. So don't say that, because then you just sound like you don't know what you're talking about with guns. Please. I see so many like-minded people saying, well, Glocks don't have safeties. Stop saying that. They do. My whole point, though, in bringing in him focusing on that, it has less to do with firearms and more also about the double standard that she lives. I mean, she would have had to have a special exemption, I think, because certain Glocks, I mean, they grandfathered some of the old gens in, and but they're considered unsafe. I mean, that's literally, California has like this whole list of, you know, unsafe firearms. It's so dumb. I'm just curious as to, you know, how that works for her. Did she get special exemption to get it? Because apparently she got it in 2005, so that wouldn't have been that would have been past the grandfathering in, or 2005 to 2006, I think is what I read. And I hope he kind of pinpoints that as well, because when she got it will determine whether or not she got something that had been grandfathered in, or if she had to have a special exemption to get something that normal people can't get in California. I got a lot of questions. So, a lot of questions. And then you have Bill Clinton, who just threw a wrench in everything unintentionally. Can we play this audio of him? This is, I mean, wow. Watch this.
You had a case in Georgia not very long ago, didn't you? They made an ad about a young woman who'd been killed by an immigrant. Yeah, well, if they'd all been properly vetted, that probably wouldn't have happened. But if they're all properly vetted, and that doesn't happen, and America is not having enough babies to keep our populations up, okay. So we need immigrants that have been vetted to do work, there wouldn't be a problem.
Well, that he sounds like a guy who had a membership to a whites-only golf club back in the 90s, doesn't he? Because he did. He said that they weren't properly vetted. If the Biden-Harris administration had properly vetted, it, quote, if they'd all been properly vetted, that wouldn't have happened. He was wearing that horrible Harry Walz hat. But who is he campaigning for there? Right. I am utterly confused. What the heck did we just hear? You had a case in Georgia. They made an ad about it. A woman who had been killed by an immigrant. If they'd been properly vetted.
There's two levels of confusion for me. One, like, wow, that's not a Democrat talking point at all.
No, it's not.
And two, he's concerned about fewer babies, yet pro-abortion. Like, yeah. I'm so confused.
Yeah, that was a weird to hear. Well, because they're not, you're aborting all of them, you geezer. That's why. I don't know. I've got like a million. I got a million questions on this. I don't know who he's campaigning for. That needs to be an ad, though. Yes. That the Trump campaign, they need like a quick response team to just like turn these cuts around like that. That's what they need. Trump is +3 in the latest Rasmussen poll in Pennsylvania. Immigration's a big issue there too. Immigration and jobs. +3. Margin of error is 3.5. So still, but that's interesting. Very interesting. So I'm curious. I mean, it's super close. I think that they're going to close the gap as we get closer, because we're, what, 3 weeks out now? Yeah. Golly. Wow. Golly. And she is really struggling. I was looking at Wisconsin, same thing. It's just, she's on the struggle bus, man. It's just not getting any better. They looked at, it was over 1,027 people. It was conducted on October 13th. I don't have any of the crosstabs or anything. It's close, but I think now you can see why she's agreed to do a Fox interview. Now it kind of makes some sense now, doesn't it? She's doing a Fox interview. Makes some sense. Kind of see it here. Interesting, right? She needs help. She needs help. And I don't think it's going to get any easier for her either. Not at all. I wanted to also get into, let me pull it up. Oh boy. This is all word salad from her. This is so bad. Audio soundbite 9. What is this? I'm looking at what it says. I don't even.
This all happened over the weekend.
Yeah, I know. What is this sentence? Go ahead and play this.
That's what I thought too.
Because what we see is so hard to see that we lose faith or a vision of those things we cannot see but must know.
What we see is so hard to see that we lose faith or a vision of those things we cannot see but must know. Okay, so that was really what she said. Oh, wow. Who's going to decide to vote for her based on that? That sounds great.
33-2 is pretty ridiculous.
I'm looking at all of this, and it all looks bad. None of this is, I don't even know. And Wisconsin, we got Pennsylvania, she's struggling. Wisconsin, she's struggling. Koch Political Report shifted the Senate race there to toss up. Now, that is also a measure of the health of Harris's campaign as well. the Tammy Baldwin is going up against Eric Hovde, and that's the he's been endorsed by Trump. And Cook shifted that on Friday to toss up. Now, Democrats think that she's still going to hold on to her seat, but it is going to be really, really close. And in fact, I mean, usually a lot of the races in that state, and a couple of them, but in Wisconsin, I think, are determined by, you know, a few thousand votes. And her lead, Baldwin's lead, she's fallen 7 points from August to today. And she barely has a 2 point lead. It was 1.8. So, and it is the, out of all the Senate races in these battleground states, that one is the closest. And it would not be that way if you had a very healthy, strong contender at the top of the ticket. And some of these down ballot races, the health of them are, how strong these candidates are, it's determined by the health of the top of the ticket. And what this is showing you is that Harris has no coattails, and she cannot articulate any kind of clear anything. Like audio soundbite 33, this is like the stuff that she says when she goes out and does these campaign events. None of this is so dumb. Listen.
I talked with somebody once who said, you know, if you just look at where the stars are in the sky, don't look at them as just random things. If you just look at them as points, look at the constellation, what does it show you?
And the hell is
so
Roland
you just
wearing?
Outlined it, Roland. What does it show you?
Oh, Lord. Wow. What? If you look at the... So she's not connected. That's what she sounds like when she's trying to connect with voters, and it doesn't sound very nice. She sounds ridiculous. But this is like the stuff that, even when she does these events and these interviews, that's the most that they get out of her. And now you can kind of tell why it is that she's just not performing well. She's not doing well because she cannot connect with voters. That's her trying to be empathetic. That's her trying to sound like she's talking off the cuff and just sitting down, shooting the breeze with people. And she comes off as inauthentic and nobody understands what the hell she's saying. She cannot connect. People need to have that connection, whether it's through the screen or that they need to hear something from you that they can connect to. And they're not hearing that from her. Not at all. And then you wonder why you're struggling. Why she's struggling. I mean, Democrats, they said that they're very concerned in Wisconsin. I think she's actually hurting Baldwin in that Senate race. They're hurting. Clyburn's out there trying to shake down black voters into voting for Harris. It's that bad. I mean, none of this is, this is turning into a big nightmare for them. I don't want Republicans to get complacent though. I want there to be such a victory in November that it is never questioned again. And you have to overcome not just the margin of error, but the margin of fraud. So, push.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So do you guys remember the Florida dude who strapped his house down and apparently like the hooks went all the way into the ground and they were attached like to concrete? Like he did it properly. He actually was able to protect his house. So this guy, Pedro Cesares from Orlando, he strapped his family's house down with these giant straps. Everything was anchored into the ground. This is actually super impressive. It was an 8 feet of cement in the ground, and he used large plastic straps that they use to secure cargo containers on ships attached to ground hooks. And it cost him $22,000 to place the stuff around the roof around his property to have this stuff set. By the way, if he ever sells that, isn't that like a selling point? Like you can strap your house down to. Yeah. And they said that the reason he did this was because their aluminum roof nearly flew off during a previous hurricane. So they got these straps. They strapped it down. It cost $22,000. And they said that they were good. There were a lot of leaves everywhere. And apparently a lot of the stuff is affected near their house. But everything is good. They're not taking the straps off until the hurricane's over. Until hurricane season's over. That's actually impressive. Yeah. Juan's showing you on the simulcast. That's what it looked like. And it worked. It actually worked.
I thought it was AI at first.
I did too. No, it literally, they lost their roof during a previous hurricane. And he was like, I'm not doing this again. And so he spent $22,000 getting all of those ground hooks in around his property. It's actually pretty impressive. So good on that guy. Wow. Let's see. One Palm Beach garden homeowner had a dumpster tossed onto their roof by an EF3 tornado. This is like one of the tornadoes that was going around right when the hurricane was coming in. And it literally threw. It's impressive. And there's a video of it. It threw an entire dumpster onto the roof of this one house. That's crazy. I mean, these things are, and those weigh a lot. Those things weigh a ton. Let's see. Coast Guard rescued a dude who was clinging to a cooler in open water. Wow. So this was the day after Hurricane Milton. They were looking for a boat captain. He was wearing a red life jacket, black shirt, and black pants. And they had an emergency locator beacon. And that's what the guy had. And he also had his cooler. He weathered one night in open water with the hurricane's strong winds and massive waves. He was 30 miles off of Longboat Key in the Gulf of Mexico. Juan's preparing the video. This dude literally spent the night in open water during a hurricane with his life vest, his locator beacon, and his cooler. I have never seen anything like this in my life. Holy cow.
How did he not get eaten?
I don't even know. And they were like, I don't think that they thought they were going to be able to get him. But they said that this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. They saved him. I mean, they got him out and he's like, okay, this is so wild that he was out there. I can't even believe what. Wow. So, I mean, he had been aboard a fishing boat called the Captain Dave. Okay, we got Lieutenant Dan, Captain Dave. And he was trying to bring the vessel back into port and make repairs, but he was trying to beat the hurricane back in. It wasn't that he was like flouting, you know, preparation. He was trying to get back. He had a problem with his rudder. The conditions deteriorated too rapidly and he got caught out in it. So that's wild. But he survived a full night and they got him. So I've never seen anything like that before. Gators, stingrays, and snakes. Floridians are urged to avoid the floodwaters because there's stingrays in there. There's snakes in there. There's gators in there. There's a myriad of dangers lurking in the water because you are in a swamp. Just FYI, it's a swamp. So they're warning people, just be careful. Just keep it on your mind. You know, don't live totally in fear, but just, you know, kind of keep it, you know, on your mind that, you know, maybe you don't want to be out there in that flood. I wouldn't be because I'd be like, there's like 50 gators like right there. You'd open the door and there's like gators. Good night. We have more on the way. Our third hour is coming up. And in that third hour, we've got Bigfoot, Tim Walz, and we got a lot. Those two things are unrelated, by the way. Stick with us. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can watch the simulcast of the radio program, Channel 347 DirecTV as well. You got Rumble, where the chat happens. You got, what else are we at? X, we're on X. We're everywhere. I was first off, I'm a little distracted because I was looking at this story about the house robots that Elon Musk is coming out with. Did you see these? I swear, this is like some iRobot stuff. It's supposed to be robots that will help you around the house with your tasks. The Optimus robots. Have you seen? Kane and I are both like, what? They're the Tesla Optimus robots, the biggest product ever of any kind. The walking, talking Optimus robots. They had like a reveal thing on Thursday and they were revealing the company's cyber car and they're nearly 6 feet tall. They play rock, paper, scissors. These are actual things. Have you seen these?
Yeah.
Juan's they walked out. Juan's getting ready to, he's getting the video queued up. They legit walked out. And I am really... They all walked out. If, I feel like I'm watching a Kanye West fashion show when I look at it, though. They all walked out. And they're helping with drinks. They were making drinks at this event. They danced to techno music.
Did you witness some of the interactions of the bartender robots?
No.
There was one. So they ordered specific drinks, right? But there was a human guy standing next to the guy that ordered the drink. And the human guy said to the robot, hey, you may want to check his ID. The guy was clearly old enough. But the robot stopped what it was doing, asked for his ID. Then the guy gave him a credit card. And the robot looked at it and said, wait, this isn't an ID. Hand me your ID. Gave him the ID. He looks at the ID, then looks up at the guy, then looks back down at the ID and looks up at the guy. And he's like, I don't know. Like, these are really human-like interactions that they're having with these robots.
How do we know that they're actually, like, human? They're not humans in a robot suit.
Well, they have to be really skinny humans.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm torn because they would be fun pets, but also no.
I don't know.
I'm really torn by this. The reason that I bring this up, and I don't want to just stay, because they said the Optimus bots are going to be in people's houses. They can walk steadily on uneven terrain. They can last all day on a single battery charge. They can navigate around people and pets. And this is crazy. I mean,
it's the iRobot movie.
It is the iRobot. I mean, they look just like that. I don't know what I feel about this.
Can we start them off as like the people that give us food samples at like Costco and Sam's? Like, we start off as just the robots that are like, here's some, you know, breakfast sausage from the freezer section you could try while you're walking around shopping. Like, start it off small like that.
I know. I look at this because I'm looking at all this stuff, and I'm looking at the robots, and then of course, you know, we had the rocket thing, the Super Heavy that just landed, and that was super impressive. I don't know when Musk sleeps, but I do know the Democrats, I think, hate him. I've never seen anybody do everything that they can to trip up a dude who has done more to help people than any Democrat has. They don't like him because he is not a Democrat. I mean, they put him in their anti-Trump ads. They put Musk in their anti-Trump ads. And I'm just, it's crazy. They can't recognize his accomplishments. Like, when Joe Biden had all of these EV manufacturers, you know, especially they didn't invite Tesla. They didn't even include Tesla in anything. He's like a Tony Stark. He is Tony Stark. And he's hated. He's absolutely hated by the left. I mean, I don't know. He has like revolutionized a number of industries. And I think he also stopped the huge takeover of speech in the digital planes that the left was undertaking. I mean, he put a stop to it. He didn't come out as like a conservative. They made him one because they persecuted him. Juan's showing you these robots. I don't know. It could beat your ass. I just feel like I don't want anything that I can't yeet. Right. Why does it have to be that tall? Why does it have to be almost 6 foot tall? Maybe, why can't it be like Twee?
Maybe we could start a business.
Like Mudang size.
Start a business that gives you the equipment to be able to yeet one of these whenever necessary. Just as a response in the free market.
No, I just like want like a short little robot. I don't want like a big thing that can kill me. Right? I don't want that.
So our robot yeeter idea is not a great one?
No, I just make them shorter. And yeetable. Make them shorter. They don't need to be that tall.
They can't do that much when they're that short.
Yeah, they can.
They'd have to have...
Make them half that size. Make them 3 feet tall.
They'd have to have like go-go gadget legs or something.
No, no, no. Make them 3 feet tall. I don't need them to do all that stuff. Right?
So you want them to make another version, smaller, like a mini-me.
Yeah, like they do that with... oh my gosh, what am I thinking of? What's the thing that makes you feel like you're exercising, but you're not? When you're standing on that thing, the Segway. One of my favorite things ever. I hate cardio. Like, I'll only lift weights. But I like to pretend sometimes that I do cardio, and I'll get in my workout gear, and I have a mini Segway that Chris got me for Mother's Day, like, years ago. It still works wonderfully. I'll get in my workout gear, and I'll just stand on my Segway, and that's my workout, like, my cardio for that, because I hate cardio. I hate cardio so bad, it's stupid. And that my cardio is just rest between sets. But that's, and if you get in your workout gear and you stand in your Segway, it's just like exercise. Not. But it feels like it is, right? You just, they're not that expensive. People think they're exorbitantly expensive. They're not. You can get like a mini one and you get like get a little handle that you can just, you see, so if you can get a little one of that, then you can get a little robot, right?
I see what you mean.
Yeah, like I mean, I just want like a little robot, yeah, like not a big one. Give me a miniature one. I'll name it Tricky Woo, and that's what we'll live as.
You'll name it what?
Tricky Woo.
Okay.
I've always wanted like a little something to name that. It's like a name that I've been holding on to because it's just goofy. And the little robot will be perfect. I don't want the big one because that's weird. What if you're like sleeping at night and you wake up and it's standing at the foot of your bed like,
oh, good God,
with this blank face, just, don't, you know, like that. Gazing at you. It's weird. I don't like that. I don't want anything bigger than me.
If I get one, I'm naming mine Johnny Five.
Well, that sounds like the name of something that could beat you up. Tricky Woo does not sound like the name of something that can beat you up. There's the difference. You see what I mean? See what I mean? You insult it with the name, like right off the bat. Like, oh, that thing cannot get hurt. Did you hear what its name is? Golly. Nothing named Tricky Woo is going to hurt you. But if you name it Johnny Five, that thing will shiv you. For sure.
Wow.
You'll wake up with a pain in your stomach in bed and look up and one of your steak knives is in your guts. Courtesy of Johnny Five, your robot.
I never took it that far.
Well, I think of all these things at night right before I go to bed. Yeah. And my favorite thing to do is ask my husband about them after he's drifted off to sleep. This is how my mind works. Nighttime, day, and I'll be like, what if we get the robot, but we have it? We make it like 0.5 times the size instead of like one whole point. What did that do? Can it still reach things on shelves? Like I could, and if you're worried about, you could make it lightweight, you could hold it up and it could reach it for you.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, see, you don't need something that's bigger than you that can murder you. You just lift up Tricky Woo, boop, boop, and Tricky Woo will get it for you. Sure, and then you put it back down on the ground.
Like emergency shutoffs for these things, right? Like just something.
That doesn't work.
You don't think so?
When has that ever worked?
Like if it's about to
plunge.
I read
a story over the weekend about a robot vacuum cleaner that got a woman's hair in it and like ripped her hair out.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It like I don't know what she was doing with her head on the ground, but it like vacuumed up her hair and her head, and she was like dying. Oh, not maybe not dying, but I would have been out of embarrassment getting my ass kicked by a floor vacuum cleaner robot. But I don't know. This is the stuff that keeps me up at night. I'll be going to bed. I got my covers and I'm going to bed. I'm getting ready to drift off and I'm like, what if we get a robot and it killed us? Like, that's, you know, because everybody has Alexas.
Right, that's what I was just about to say.
I don't have one of those either.
Echo Dot, an Alexa, a Hey Google, whatever the hell it is. I don't get any of those things.
I'm curious as to how many in the listening audience have like Alexas and stuff. I don't have that because I don't want the government to. Oh, and by the way, Kathleen in the Rumble chat is reminding everyone about Chucky. Chucky was little. Yeah. He was yeetable. But he was also a demon. So, like, I don't want. Tricky Woo wouldn't be a demon. It would just, you know, be a bot. But to your point, though, Kane, with Alexa and that, I don't understand the people who feel like they can accomplish more in a day just because they can go, Alexa,
right,
add, you know, something, whatever. Alexa, put nuts on the list. Alexa, add eggs to my list. I wonder how many people's Alexas I'm setting off right now, by the way.
Stop doing that.
Alexa.
Okay. Stop, Alexa, stop.
Alexa, play Two Live Crew.
Oh, gosh.
You see, I don't need that in my life. Someone out there is losing it. I don't need that in my life. I don't need the list. I don't need my refrigerator to tweet. I don't need anything, you know. I just don't. We are an indulgent society that creates problems for ourselves. And we are literally creating an army of things to come and kill us because we are so indulgent. We're like a rotting empire, like how Rome, as everything was falling apart, well, at least they had the Colosseum. They had bread and circuses, you know, at least they had that. And we're like killing ourselves, and then we're making giant robots, and we're going to act shocked when they turn on us. I mean, literally, this is how Skynet comes about. I'm just saying. You know what we need? Universal translators. That you can just, like, an earpiece you can wear, and it works with your phone. You don't need a robot that can, like, make drinks. I wouldn't want a robot that makes drinks. I don't need it to do tasks like that. You know, we need, like, a universal translator or, like, something that makes people like good music and not listen to bad music. I don't know. Just, like, I'm out of ideas. But the thing creeps me out. But anyway, my whole point, I brought this up because Elon Musk is, like, you know, I mean, he's like a modern day hero. He's Tony Stark, and Democrats hate him. They absolutely hate him. They don't have anybody on the right that has accomplished this, that has done what he's done. He was asking, well, if Kamala wins, how long is my jail sentence going to be? I mean, I know people are like, but it's true though, right? It's true. Goodness, I don't know. I don't want that big giant robot. Is everybody going to have bots? All my friends have Alexa, and then what is it, the what is the other Alexa that's not Alexa?
Echo Dot.
Whatever. They all have this stuff, and they all talk about it like in everyday conversations. Like, oh, yeah, and I said, you know, Alexa. I'm like, what? You said what to what? I don't have any of this. I almost feel like I'm like Little House on the Prairie when they talk about it. I feel like I'm going to go home and, you know, go to the creek and get my own water because I don't have Alexa. It's just weird, right? You feel like that?
Yeah.
It makes me feel like a pioneer.
Then I remember I have an iPhone.
Yeah, then I remember I'm not giving the feds a whole bunch of evidence on me. Not that I'm doing anything bad in the first place, but, you know.
Right.
Anyway, we got a lot more on the way.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, first up, this air pollution is leading to a fall in IVF pregnancy rates, according to one. So this is a study that they did. This is AJC, Atlanta Journal-Constitution. They did it in Atlanta, Australia, and Europe. And they're saying that, oh, it's pollution's negative impact on fertility treatment. I don't, that seems like a stretch, but that's what they're reporting. I don't know. I don't know if I put, no. High ceilings in buildings are linked to poorer exam results for students. Of all the things, it's the University of South Australia and Deakin University. They suggest that big and open rooms with high ceilings make it hard for students to focus on what is in front of them. They did a previous study on this, the same researchers, where they were looking at brain mapping and technology and virtual reality, and they found a relationship between cognitive ability and the perceived size of somebody's surroundings, and so they were looking at exams. They looked at over 15,400 students. Maybe, depending on the light or the acoustics of the room, I mean, maybe, but I also think that a lot of this is just self-discipline. And if you're doing poorly on an exam because you have high ceilings, then you have zero discipline and you have bigger issues, honestly. A woman tried to smuggle 29 turtles into Canada by crossing a Vermont lake. She was trying to get around this. Didn't happen. Associated Press says that she pled guilty to trying to smuggle 29 different of these little turtles in. Her name is 41-year-old Wan Yi Nieg. She was arrested at an Airbnb, and she was trying to get into an inflatable kayak with a duffel bag. Border Patrol caught her because it's not like, you know, somebody trying to cross the lake into the border on it with the giant duffel bags. They found 29 live Eastern box turtles wrapped in socks. They sell them on the Chinese black market for $1,000 each. That's crazy. I'm glad that they got them because, goodness. We have Stephen Yates, who's going to be joining us coming up. Stick with us.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this third hour. And I'm talking about a number of different issues. The election, of course, the Elon Musk being really a hero and everybody hating him because he's not a leftist. But then also one of the things that was happening over the weekend, well, actually just wrapped up, Chinese war games they're testing. They were just doing their routine drills and things like that, right? That's all. And these drills that they were doing, which entirely were surrounding Taiwan, which is exactly what you would do if you're a bully. You know, like, I'm going to flex. I'm not touching you, but look at me doing this. Well, they've concluded those. I was looking at this piece from the BBC because China was like, well, it's a punishment for Taiwan for like existing, you know, just separate of us. I don't know what the new administration, whoever it will be, is going to have a handful. Not just with what's happening in the Middle East, but with what's building and continuing to build here. This is something we always talk about because I think China is the biggest geopolitical foe we have, even though Kamala Harris said it was Iran. Joining us now, our good friend Stephen Yates, who is an expert on all of these issues, having previously served in not one but two different presidential administrations, both the Trump administration and the Bush administration. He is with the Heritage Foundation, and he joins us now via Skype. And you can also follow him at YatesComs on X, senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Stephen, good to see you. Harris said last week Iran was the biggest threat, not China.
Well, it obviously is a threat given what it's been doing to Israel, and that does affect American interests and an alliance that should matter a lot to us. But you and I have talked for well over a decade about the challenges that communist China presents and that it hits more fundamentally at more parts of America's way of life than any other challenge that comes from outside of our shores. And in recent years, it should not be forgotten that it affected every family with COVID and has affected hundreds of thousands of families with fatal fentanyl. That is much more than the Iranians or Russians have ever even tried on American soil. Not to say they're good. It's just that it should be indisputable that the Chinese Communist Party is worse.
Yeah, very much so. And I mean, look, we don't disagree with any characterization of Iran as being dangerous. But in terms of scope and what they're able to do, I mean, China, as you said, has already inflicted so much more damage, and they've got their tentacles in everything. This was a weird story, and I wanted to ask you about this because one of the things that we've talked about before it's been, you know, China trying to increase its presence, whether it's in South America or even the Caribbean. And you and I were actually talking about, sidebar, I'm going to get to the point of the story, but I got to tell you this, though, Stephen, you're going to appreciate this. You're the only person who would appreciate this story. So when we were on summer vacation, we had a layover in Nassau, and it happened to be literally the day that Trump, that he was shot in the head. It was the day he was shot. I land. My phone's going crazy. We had flight cancellations and all this stuff happening. And the airline wanted to put us in this hotel that I thought sounded familiar. And it was from a conversation that you and I had months prior where you were explaining how one of the biggest pieces of property, if not the biggest in the Bahamas, is the CCP's embassy. And as it turned out, the hotel that the airlines was going to put us in to keep us overnight was a hotel that was owned by the CCP.
How convenient.
In Nassau. And you know me, I had all of Kane's tinfoil with me. And I'm going, what? You know, the day that Trump shot and they're going to put us in a CCP hotel, this is not happening. We didn't stay there, obviously. But I thought you would appreciate that. Something like the British Colonial or something Colonial Hotel in Nassau, and it's owned by the CCP. And I'm immediately like, you know, I wanted to tell everybody who was getting referred there, don't stay. In fact, I did tell like three people, that's a Marxist, so that's a commies hotel. That's a commie hotel. Who knows? I mean, I wouldn't have trusted it. I have another story, but I had to share that with you because I have not told you that yet.
Well, I just wish you would have run around shouting Taiwan independence the whole time you were in the halls there. So it just overloaded their sound system with freakouts.
I should have. I should have gone ahead and made it. They'd have probably like thrown me into some like jail cell bunker down there.
Let someone test the soup first.
Right? I know. I was like, I'm not going to stay. That's crazy. Now, another country in the Caribbean, Barbados. So they've kind of had sort of a falling out with Britain in terms of the Commonwealth, and they got rid of the Queen and all that stuff. But they're now cozying up to the Chinese. So they get rid of their relationship with Britain, and now they've demanded all these reparations, like, you know, trillions of dollars of reparations. Now they're really cozying up with China. And I just thought it was interesting that they had, you know, a peaceful relationship. They had great trade. They had protection from Britain. Now they're rejecting everything. And they're now very close to the CCP, who now has a bigger footprint in the Caribbean because of this.
Yeah, well, it is something that's been an encroachment in our near abroad influence in our hemisphere. It's gone on for some time, but it's really amped up. And the part that grosses me out the most is not that the Chinese would try to do this. I expect competitors and worse to take advantage where it's left to them. But they're using our own money to do it. It's Americans who have had unfavorable and silly economic relations with the Chinese Communist Party that's flooded them with money that they now use to buy influence against us in our own near abroad. So it's clearly a trend that we could stop if we were smart. But we haven't been very smart for a very, very long time, and it's going to take a bit to change. Now, for the people that are buying what the CCP is selling, hopefully they're doing a little bit of research. Even Wall Street people who used to be very bullish about things China, heavily invested, all of that, they've been pulling back, hedging at the very least, in some cases much, much more. And so these new entrants into this, thinking they're getting a sweet deal, they might want to talk to a few Chinese people in China. Because not every shiny object is what it appears there. And the Chinese people know it more than anyone else.
Yeah, they absolutely do. Talking with our friend Stephen Yates at YatesComms on X. I know everybody's kind of holding their breath for November. What is China looking for in November? I mean, I would imagine that they have plan A and plan B, depending on what administration is elected. What are you forecasting for November in terms of China's reaction?
Well, I know some of the people who are part of the senior levels of national security and foreign policy in the Biden administration because they've been around Biden for a long time and they were in the Obama administration under Secretary Clinton and Secretary Kerry. So these are, as Don Rumsfeld might call, known knowns. But Harris doesn't have a loyal entourage. And so it's very, very unclear whether some of these people would do the same, but a lot of them have said that they're heading for the exits. Part of this is the legit. You get tired of 4 years working these kinds of jobs. I served for 5 years in a White House, and I felt like I lost 20 years of my life doing it.
Yeah.
So there's some part of it that you can understand, but you also kind of get the sense, A, these folks don't think she's going to win, and they're going to cash out now, and B, there's going to be a changeover, and we're not going to know who some of these folks are, but that some kind of system is going to continue the soft approach to all of our challenges, prioritizing climate change and imposing peace deals on our allies who get attacked by bad guys. And so more of the same in a way. And if Trump comes back, I expect he is going to come back. There's going to be, I think, a revival of deterrence, but there'll be some forms of engagement to try to sue for peace in different areas. It's not going to be easy to understand or perfect by any means, but I think it will be more unpredictable for our adversaries, and for smart allies, it'll be much more predictable. So I think that we need this election to go in the direction of going back to where things were pre-COVID. And picking up where that left off. And with Harris, nobody really knows what we're going to get out of her other than more of the same. It's not going to be the very pro-CCP vice presidential nominee charting a new course. Maybe if she sits down with Bret Baier this week and all of a sudden answers questions, which would be borderline unprecedented for the last 4 years, we're not going to get to know.
Yeah, I would imagine, too, that some of the individuals that have been working on behalf of the United States against expanding CCP interests would be weirded out by someone like Tim Walz with his connections to the Communist Chinese Party. I don't think that he is a willful plant. I think he's a moron who was exploited and used, and they thought that they could impress, good manners on him and show him how nice they are. And he bought into it hook, line, and sinker because he's a moron. And, he became a useful idiot for them. I think that's maybe the extent of it. Although, I don't know, he seems a lot more insidious, though, than, at first look. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, we've had quite the debate as a country about a new definition of masculinity and some notion of toxic masculinity. What I can say is whatever anyone's view is on that subject, I can promise you that the bad guys around the world are not deterred by jazz hands and a guy who can't reload a shotgun.
Oh.
So we have got to have some good old-fashioned John Wayne back in the saddle if we're going to right this ship. People need to fear what the United States must do to them if they're an adversary, and they must trust the United States will be the backup when necessary. They have lost that over the last 4 years and badly need that back if we don't want more of these problems on our own shores.
No, I completely agree with that. Stephen Yates at YatesComms is where you can find him on X and also at the Heritage Foundation as well. Always a pleasure, my friend. Good to see you. Thank you so much for your time.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Harris is trying to say that Trump is the one that's not going out and engaging with voters. Audio soundbite 13. This is so goofy. Like, this is... I know what they're doing. They're trying to, like, well, we're going to say what they've been saying about us and we're going to accuse them of it. That's not how this works. Listen.
He is unwilling to do a 60 Minutes interview. Like every other major party candidate has done for more than half a century. He is unwilling to meet for a second debate.
He doesn't need it.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. It makes you wonder. It makes you wonder, why does his staff want him to hide away?
She is hurting. She's begging for a debate.
It's like two rallies a week.
Yeah, he's like, he doesn't need the debate. You do. He doesn't need it. You need it. Oh. So, see, I'm telling you, the internals that were released and some of this other stuff, she ain't doing so good. This is not going to... not going to help. I mean, first off, Trump is very competitive with black men. He's competitive with, what is it, the valued 18 to 54 demo. He's, in fact, very competitive. The trend line was 18 to 44 from Obama to Harris. Obama was plus 81. Hillary was only plus 63. Biden was plus 53. Harris is only plus 41. Democrats have lost 40 points since 2012. And it's not just a problem with Harris. It's a problem with Democrats. There's a trend of black voters leaving Democrats. Hispanic voters leaving Democrats. And she has always been a weak candidate for her base. The same thing that we saw with her in 2020. I don't know why people think that that's going to change, why that would have changed, but it hasn't. She is just, they're not doing well, and that's why she needs this debate. She needs the debate. They don't, well, she says this, audio soundbite 11. This is how she brushes it off. This is how she brushes this off. Listen.
They've already started with the misinformation and the lies.
Oh, jeez.
We know that there is foreign interference, and I have to say to everybody listening to this, don't let them take your voice. Because I was part of the Senate Intelligence Committee when we investigated Russia's interference in the 2016 election. Black folks were targeted.
Oh my gosh, with misinformation. This is so lame.
She targeted black folks.
Yeah, she targeted black folks. This is so lame. So she's... I don't know. This is desperation by her. It is desperation by her. She needs a debate so bad. And Trump doesn't need it at this point. Especially the worst thing he could do is have another debate performance like he had with her the first time. The only reason that she is competitive is because she was able to successfully bait him last debate. That's the only reason I think she's still competitive now. She cannot, but she has to have another debate. That one is not enough to put her over. It's just not. I don't know. It's not looking good for her. And particularly in battleground states, and the fact that they're having to like now double back and try to bring Pennsylvania in, it looks like really, really bad strategy on their part. They really messed up. They added somebody onto that ticket that was a drag. and now they're paying the cost for it. They're paying for it now. Walls was a drag. And they can try to rehabilitate him. They can try to act like he's a coach, which he wasn't. They can try to act like all this stuff, like he's, you know, he's the goofy dad. They can do all this. They can try to act like he's a gun guy. He's not. None of it's working because they haven't put him through charm school. He's just not ready for prime time. Today's stupidity, Kane. What's we got?
Boy, did I have a surplus to choose from. And several of them are from Kamala, so we're going to focus on her. So this was over the weekend that she was doing another recorded interview. And this, after editing, is what they put out there. Listen to this. Cut 9.
Because what we see is so hard to see that we lose faith or a vision of those things we cannot see but must know.
What?
What?
Let's play that one more time, Juan, just because I got to hear
because
that.
Because what we see is so hard to see that we lose faith or a vision of those things we cannot see but must know.
Oh, man.
What?
Context wouldn't even fix that.
So weird.
And that's just one example over the weekend. You can simply just go online and see the rest.
You know how terrified she was of that last debate? The fact that she's begging for another one shows you how much she is hurting. I'll have some of that for you if you sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. I've got a compilation of stuff, surveys, polling that you want to read. Make sure I'll be on Fox tonight, Laura Ingraham's show. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.